Yud Beis Cheshvan, 1st of November, Rabbi Eli Pick, standing at the Omud.
Well, we've all had this experience. We're standing at the Omud and somebody's going, no, no.
Yes.
People complain you're too slow, people complain you're too quick.
Too quiet.
Wait for the Rov, don't wait for the Rov. You do want to daven, you don't want to daven at the Omud. There are various dilemmas which we will try and discuss this morning and see how we can get through to them. But this word nu is the most irritating one of all. For those who don't know what the significance is of the word nu, it's got the same gematria as lechu, get on with it. Six. But if somebody says to you nu twice, that's the gematria of 112, and they're taking Hashem's name in vain because 112 is Hashem Elokim. Anyway, when you're standing at the Omud, you are the ambassador. You are representing the Tzibur, and it's a very great responsibility. And perhaps the most common question which arises is, how long should one wait for the Tzibur when one is about to start the Chazoras Hashatz? The halacha is one waits for the majority. People think you only have to wait for nine people, but really one should wait for the rov. And the Sefer Oz Nidbru writes, he says it's not right to begin if the majority are still davening, and only if you're really, really pressed and everybody's such a long time, okay, you can start with nine, but you should wait for the majority. And he writes that one who bangs on the table, or one who is urging with these news, when the majority are still davening, will be held accountable for his actions. So what about waiting for the Rov? Well, the Magen Avraham makes it very clear, Negu Lahamtin, Simon Kuf Chavdalad, that one waits for the Rov before one starts one's Chazor Sashatz. And one has to take into account the fact, says the Sefer HaMinhagim, that the Rov may take longer because he's adding more tefillos for sick people. He's listing names of people in his tzibur who are not well, and he therefore takes a bit longer, and you have to account for that. And even if the Rav says, don't wait for me, Rabbi Akiva Eger says, you should still wait for him. Although when Rav Chaim Kanievsky retired, and he was in Monsi, and he found that people were waiting for him before the Shliach Tzibur would restart with the Chazor Sashatz, so he said, please don't wait for me, and they still didn't listen. So what he did was, he decided to make his own minyan with people who were slow in their davening. So that way, he was not getting the covered which they were giving him. Certainly, says the Ramah, if the Rav is unduly long, then you don't have to wait. There in Siman Kuf Kaf Dalet Sif Gimel, he says you don't wait. And what if you have a visiting Rosh Hashiva, some visiting dignitary? Do you have to wait for him? He says no. You don't have to wait for others, even the Chashuvei Ho'ir. Why? Tircha de Tzibura. You don't want to keep people unnecessarily waiting. And you don't have to wait for the Rav to arrive. Once you've got 10 people, that's the Shechina. Once it happened when Rav Monk, Zichrono Livracha, when he was still the Rav of GGBH, and he was walking with Rav Feldman, the newly inducted assistant Rav to the Shul, Rav Monk said to Rav Feldman, you better go ahead, they're not going to wait for us. The importance of the Shliach Tzibur, being the representative, being the ambassador, the Ari says it has many hidden meanings, and although it's only a Takonas Chazal, there's a remez to the idea of being a Chazan in the Torah itself. In Parshas Kisitzov, Vayava Hashem Al Ponov Vayikro, and there you've got the Shlesh Esrei Midus. And the Gemara Shoshana Yudzayin says, Om Rabbi Yochanan Shenis Atif HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kashliach Tzibur. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu wraps himself in a talis as though he is the Chazan himself. And what's the Pshat Vayavar? Over Lifnei HaTeva. One is passing before the Teva. There's also the expression Yerek Lifnei HaTeva. And you've got there the Yud Gimel Midas. That's the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu forgives us when we daven. Says Rabbi Yaakov Endon, Yisodei Godel Varom Yesem Itfilas Lachash. That the idea of the Shliach Tzibur repeating the Shemoneh Esra, it has more importance than the quiet Shemoneh Esra itself. That is the Tzibur doing something together. And the Eishel Avraham writes in Hilchas Tanis that it's wrong to ask your child to go around with the tzedakah box during Chazoras Hashatz. You know what happens in some shuls when a mashulach comes in, he's not well known, so he goes up to the gub and he says, take me round with you. People will then give more money. So I once remarked to a certain gubba when he was going around with his mashulach during Chazaras HaShatz, I said, you know, according to the Rambam, the repetition, that is the tefillah b'tzibur. He said, yeah, well, I don't have a problem with that. Rav Mati Shlomo Solomon Shlita, he said the reason why the Shliach Tzibur has a much greater status is because he is getting other people to answer. He's getting people to say, Omein, Hei Shmei Rabo, and there's the Kaddish, and there's the Kedusha. So there's a greater Kabbalas Olmach HaShemayim, hence the great importance of the person who is standing at the Omud. Well, we've spoken a bit about speed. You know what it's like when people are rushed. The first thing that they sacrifice are the Kabbalas. Well, I was once in a shul in the provinces when I was Oval for my father's Zechron Levracha, whose Yotzeit is this week, so I say this in English Mosai. The shul said to me, yes, you're welcome to Dublin, when I told them that I'm an Oval. Yeah, you're a Chiev, go ahead. And I said, what's the average speed here? How long does one take? So he said, 25 minutes. Oh, right, yeah, 25 minutes up to the Shmoneh Esrei. Yeah, fine, that's fine. He said, oh, no, 25 minutes to the end of Shacharis. Oh. Well, I didn't manage it, but I thought, they're not going to be able to kick me out in the middle, and I'm not going to go back there again, so I took my time. But if one does daven so quickly, then you will not manage to say phrases correctly, such as, b'chol levovecho, because if you join it up, then you haven't got your mitzvah of Kriyat Shema if you say b'chol levovecho. Or b'avada tem mehero. It's b'avada tem mehero. Or nosati esev besodecho. If you're davening fast, there's no way you're going to say these words properly. And even outside of davening, hamotzi lechem min ha'oretz. That we have to separate our words. And the Mari Mintz says it's like counting money. When you daven your words, you are separating your words correctly. And when I say counting money, I don't mean these new bank teller machines which go counting your cash. says the Mari Mintz, "V'lo b'miksas chazonim asher yorutzu b'fihem." He criticizes those chazonim who are running away with their mouths. He says, when you're davening, it's a tefillah which is b'mokum korban. It's as if you're bringing a korban, and a korban mustn't have a mum. So how long should one really take? Well, there are some people, says the Piskei Teshuvos in Siman Nun Gimel, some people are so eager to ensure that they don't cause tichat etzibura, that people are kept waiting, that they speed up as best as they can. But he says the correct length of time one should spend on one's Shemoneh Esrei is 9 minutes. And on Shabbos, 6 minutes. The Sefer Nevresha says the average time one should take over one's Shemoneh Esrei is between 11 and 12 minutes. Well, believe me, if I would have done that at that shul, I would have got lynched. Now, so what does one do? Obviously, one goes according to the Rav Speed and the Minhag HaMokum and so on. I did time the Shliach Tzibur this morning, how long it took him in another minyan, not this one, till the time he got to repetition, and it took him just over 4.5 minutes, which is well below the Piskei Teshuvos' 9 minutes. The Tichat Etzibura is very important. Even when you're called up to the Sefer Torah, you shouldn't close the Sefer Torah when you make the first bracha, because we say it's a Tichat Etzibura. Now, how long does it take to close a Sefer and to open a Sefer again? We're talking about a fraction of seconds, but nevertheless, it's Tichat Etzibura, so you should keep the Sefer Torah open when you make the first bracha. So it is important, but we have here a question of balance. We can't say Tichat Etzibura and therefore just finish your Shemoneh Esrei in 2 minutes. Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach said, if you as a chazan feel rushed by the community that you're davening, he said, don't take the omud. He says in Halichas Shlomo and Yud Ches, it's better not to, just daven by yourself and let them get somebody else to do the dirty work. And the Shari Tshuva writes, if you can't keep up, better to go at your own speed. HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows what is in a person's heart. And indeed, the Gemara in Brachas Lamed Aleph tells us that Rabbi Akiva used to try to be as brief as possible in the Shemoneh Esrei in order that he doesn't keep the Tzibur waiting. But when you're on your own, if the Rambam says, if you daven at home for whatever reason, he says you can even say the Vidur, you can be as long as you like, but don't keep the Tzibur waiting when you are at the Omud. What about you've got this problem when you ask the daven at the Omud and you've got this dilemma when you look around you and you realise people are not very attentive, they might not be very orthodox, you've only got 9 people there, and if they don't answer amen to your brachas of your chazaras hashat, then what do you do? And the halacha actually says, the Torah brings out, korev liyos bracha lavatola. It doesn't say it is a bracha lavatola, but it's korev liyos, it's close enough to it. So it's a bit of a dilemma for a chazan when one has this challenge. But there are a couple of remedies. You can make a tanai. Mishnah Berurah says in Kuf Chaf Dalet, you can make a tanai. I make a condition that if 9 people don't answer or make to my bracha, then what I'm doing is a kob and a dovah. The Shemayin Esra I'm giving is another Shemayin Esra in the way of a nadova, which is fine if it's not Shabbos, because there's no kob and a dovah on Shabbos. There is another remedy, though, and that is this. If you are really sure that the people behind you are not going to answer you, or if you're suspecting that some of them are not even Jewish, then remain quiet during the time they say the Shemayin Esra, and then when you do what is assumed to be the repetition, that is your Shemayin Esra. And I was once at a shiva, and I was asked to lead the davening, and I looked behind me, and I didn't think that at all that some of them were even Jewish, so I remained quiet until my Chazaras Hashat. But the Sheva Halevi, Rav Ozna writes in Chelek Aleph, he says, if the majority of people are answering Amen, then you don't have to worry so much. But the Igros Moshe writes that it's not tefillah b'tzibur if any of the other 9 people who are present are not observant. On the other hand, the Chacham Tzvi writes that there is a difference between those who are Mechalel Shabbos b'Fahestia and those who are Chote or Mumah l'Teyovim. People who are doing Averis because of Taiva, we don't give them the same blemish as those who are Mamash Mechalel Shabbos by
the Melamed Lahoyel says.
Melamed Lahoyel, thank you. Certainly, if an Abikoros is present, and it's not very hard to be an Abikoros sometimes, although you have to know a lot to be an Abikoros rather than Amahoretz, the Gemara in Sanhedrin Sadi test lists the different kinds of people who are Abikoros. If somebody writes an article and criticizes Dayonim, then that person is regarded as an abikoros, and that person cannot be counted in a minyan. Similarly, a person who threatens somebody else, even without hitting, but just lifts up his hand, Kitzur Shulchan Aruch brings down, that person cannot be counted into a minyan. Well, what is your dilemma when you're a chazan? They're chatting behind you. And what does one do about it? And the Taz writes very strongly in Siman Nun Hei. He says, Hashotim O'elu, these people who are fools, she'osim isum avsokas sicha b'teilah, they are interrupting the davening with their idle chatter, cholila litztaref im anoshim poshim ka'ele. One may not join up with these people, so the people who are chatting are not eligible to be counted in the minyan. Because she'ein minyan zulosom, if there's no minyan without them. So kal v'chomer shelo lumeg mizeh hesalishon. He talks there about the idea of falling asleep. What does one do if you turn around and you see that somebody behind you has fallen asleep and there are only 8 other people? Can you carry on? So Mishnah Berurah Nun Hei says, if one person has fallen asleep, you can carry on, but ideally people should wake him up. But the Taz says, no, not even if one person is asleep. It's not good enough. That's in davening. As far as this year is concerned, there's no maximum. You can all fall asleep. But the chazan hasn't got to check that everybody's awake. What if a person comes in and he's shikha, he's absolute stone drunk, can you count him in the minyan? L'chachilin no, says the Mishnah Berurah. When you're davening, you have to be fit to speak to a king. So that person is not counted in the minyan. But the Shutz Beis Yehuda says,
because he came late.
Not because he came late, but because he's not fit in his concentration to be part of the tzibur, because his mind is not all there. He's like a shoter. And since he's like a shoter, the Shutz Beis Yehuda says he's got to be really stone drunk like Lot was. Anyway, what if there is a shoter? What if there is somebody who lacks intelligence through no fault of his own? And what is the definition of a shoter? One doesn't really count such a person into a minyan. Well, what if the person suffers from dementia? It's a medical condition. What if a person is suffering from Alzheimer's disease? The shaila there is, is that how much can you put your trust in such a person, say, to look after your money? If the person is so forgetful that they don't know how to look after your money, then they shouldn't really be counted a minion. Ah, you do get people who have their ups and downs. They do remember, and the next day they don't remember. So there are various criteria given in Choshen Mishpat, in Lama Tei, about what is a shota. If a person walks alone at night, if a person sleeps in a cemetery, if a person just tears his clothing for no reason, these are shotim. But in the Gemara in Erevin, Samach Bey says, in truth, since the destruction of the Beis HaMikdosh, we are all regarded as in the category of shotim. So that's very heartening and comforting. The Migros Moshe talks about somebody who was convinced that he was a Mashiach, and he walked around with no clothes on, but he was still eligible to be counted in, according to that opinion. Once I was in Brooklyn, New York, on a Shabbos, and I saw crowds of shtreimels going into a very big shul, and I was puzzled just to see what they were going in for, because it was one of these colossal cathedral-like shuls. And so I followed them, and in they went, and it was the chazan who was about to start Kedusha. And it's a world-famous chazan. It was Chazan Miller, and it was absolutely beautiful, amazing. And they were coming in just to hear him doing the Kedusha. It's like a concert. And the problem, though, which many chazonim have, is that they start repeating their words. Yeah. And there is a halachic question about whether that is something which one can do. And we learn out from Gemara Brachas Lamed Gimel that the words modim or shema may not be repeated, because it's michsi kashtei rishuyos. It's talking like there are two rishuyos, chas v'shalom. And from there we learn out that you shouldn't really be repeating words at all. On the other hand, when you're saying Hallel, we do say certain words repeated, like Hodu and Odecho, and the Gemara in Sukkah Lamed Ches endorses that. So the Maram Shik writes in Aruch Chaim Lamed Aleph, he says, the proof from Hallel and Shema is that one may not repeat words. And the Anshei Knesset Agdolah were very careful when they devised our tefillahs that they said it in such a way that you're not repeating. And he gives a number of reasons why you should not repeat words. Number one, it's the idea of Baal Tosif. Unnecessary adding on. Number two, he says, it's Dover Shikarim, you end up telling lies. Why? Because we say Kodesh three times, and we say Kashem Shemak Dishem Osobi Shemei Morom in the way that the angels are singing. So if the word is repeated unnecessarily, then it will be more than three times. It can even change the meaning. Sometimes the Chazan sings Negunim on Yismachub Malchuscha, for example, and we all know the tune. Kulam yisbuve yisangu mitzuvecha. And then people say, Oleg Shabbos, whereas they're really repeating words from earlier. Now, mitzuvecha is not talking about Shabbos. Mitzuvecha is talking to Hashem about His goodness. Mitzuvecha, your goodness, Hashem's. So if you start with these words, with repeating, with tunes, just to make it all fit the tune, then you could end up being someone who's changing the meaning of the davening and ruining its intention. Rav Shlomo Zalman says you don't even answer Amen if there was a hefsek with repetitions, because it's an interruption. And Rav Avadi Yosef deplores those who turn the chazonos just into a mere concert, but certainly Hashim Ar Alev and Vilvad Sheyei Libom LaShemoyim. But says the Maram Shik, he said, you wouldn't speak to your prime minister like, you wouldn't say to your prime minister, can you please leave the EU? Leave the EU, 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 EU. You don't talk like that to Theresa May. And in the same way, you shouldn't be davening like that. Nevertheless, says the Aruch HaShulchan, he's melamed zechus, he says it's hard to rebuke those who might be repeating some words. V'ulai ein isur b'zeh. Certainly, says Reb Moshe Feinstein in Chelek Beis, he says, ein ruach chachomim noicheh menu. It's not the sort of indulgence which Chazal were happy about. Certainly when a Chazan davens, he should be careful not to lengthen the end of his bracha, because then people might say Amen too early, and Amen Chatufa, and then they don't get their Amen. And the typical examples of that are like on Rosh Chodesh, at the end of Shacharis, Amavoiches Amei Yisrael Basholom, and then people start saying their Amen before the Shalom is finished. Or even long brachas like Hamachazish Chinosa Letzion, one should try and be careful to finish in time to give the people the chance to answer Amen. The way I do it is build it up in a very slow way, and then end off the bracha very quickly. And that way, you take them by surprise, and they don't get the chance to say Amen or Tilla. You have finished. Certainly a chazan should not start a new bracha in the Chazan Shatz until people have had the chance to answer Omei. Well, what about you don't really want to daven at the Omei? What do you do? I was once approached, in the earlier days when I had a voice, I was approached by a gabba of a very well-known shul in this district, and he came up to me and he said, Mincha on Yom Kippur. So I laughed. And he said, no, I mean it, seriously, Mincha on Yom Kippur. And I said, sorry, no, that's not for me, sorry. And he wouldn't take no for an answer. Gemara Brachas writes in Lama Dalud, if you're not a regular davener, then you should decline first question asked. But by the time the third time you're asked, you should. It's like food without salt. And if you refuse too much, it's like you are over-salting. Interestingly enough, when the Chosn Torah and Chosn Bereishis are called up, on Simchas Torah, the words used are Amod, 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 and it's said three times. Why? So that the Chosn Torah cannot refuse. He's called up that way three times, and by that number. So I said to this guy, look, I'm not really eligible to daven Yom Narayim. I don't have a beard. And the Rashba writes at the end of Chulin, the Chazos HaShat should have a beard. Now you know why I shave. So he carried on asking me. He phoned me up the following day and again the following day. So when he asked me the third time, I said to him, you're asking me the third time, aren't you? He said, yes, I am. I said, well, in that case, I will have to ask the Rav. And I phoned up the Rav and I said, quite honestly, I don't feel up to it. Do I really have to daven at the Omer? He said, of course you don't. Thank you very much. Back I went to the Gav and said, the Rav said, I don't have to daven. So he said to me something quite remarkable. He said, okay, that's what the Rav said, but did you hear the story about Novos? Novos? Novos, wasn't he the one whose vineyard was taken away by the wicked King Achav, and he was killed by him? I said, yeah, Novos. He said, you know why he died? Ooh, this was a death threat. He said, the reason why he died was because he was asked to leave the singing, and he refused to do so. And he had a good voice, and everybody followed him, and this was when they were doing Ola L'Regel to Yerushalayim. And found it in the Yalkut Shimoni in Malachim Aleph, Reish Mem Zayin and Reish Chof Aleph. And that if a person has a good voice, they should daven before the Teva. Pal Machas Lo Olo, once he didn't, and he died as a result. Why? Shelo Hoya Olo Bidu Shalayim, Bere'iyo L'chavidis HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Shekeva'om Roto V'lo Yachma Nishas Artzecho. So there's a guarantee Hashem gives to those who go on Ola L'Regel, that your house will be looked after. You'll leave a ghost town behind, because everybody's going to Yerushalayim. But Hashem says, don't worry, but Aloscho, when you go up to Yerushalayim, no worry. Lo yachma dishasatscho. And he was worried. So the question is, was it because he was refusing to sing and leave the congregation, or was it because he was worried about the security of his house and his jewels inside it? Well, that can be a debate, but it is true that if one is up to it and one is capable, then one should leave the davening, but I thought that was slightly heavy-handed. But, right, that was an experience.
Did you daven?
Pardon?
Did you daven?
No, I did not daven. Sadly, he died prematurely, but I'm not suggesting for one minute it was anything to do with that. So once I was davening at the Omud when I was novel in a small base Hamedrash, and I had started Mincha with Ashrei, and just as I was finishing Ashrei, a big burly man comes in and shouts out, I've got Yahrzeit! So he wasn't a member of this base Hamedrash, and I had already been asked to daven as a chiyuv in the 11 months, so I wasn't quite sure what to do, but he was very assertive about it. So I stood aside and said, Gesundheit, you know, let him daven already. He was so forceful about it. And somebody told me off. He said, you've got no right to do that. You let down your father. You were davening for your father's neshama. What right did you have to give up the omud for this person who's not even a member here? So that got me a bit worried. So I looked up the sources and I found in the Kaf HaChayim in Siman Nun Gimel, Tzadivov, he says, V'ein niskoitek, but there mustn't be any quarreling. If you are quiet, that is your reward. That is the best nachas you can give and cover to your father if you do not indulge in any machlokes. So, okay, let him daven, you get the schar for that. Quite an interesting experience. And the Chasam Sofer writes in Yerideah Shin Mem, hey, whoever takes the omud when he's not entitled to, or when he takes it forcefully, he does not gain by it. He gets no mitzvah out of it. And the other people who give up the omud have not lost out. And similarly, of course, when you're saying Kaddish, you are sanctifying Shem Shemayim Barabim. But when there's a quarrel, then you are desecrating Hashem's name. There's an interesting debate which goes on amongst some shuls about the position of the omud and the bima, because the reform developed a custom to put the bima in the front of the shul, and therefore a number of Ashkenazi poskim said it's not allowed to do so, but it is a prevalent custom in many United synagogues. But once at a slicha service in Hampstead Synagogue, which was built in 1892, and it always had its bima at the front, But the current Rabbi Harris decided to toe the line, and he created a bima in the middle by removing seats and displacing the bima which was in the front. And the chief rabbi got up and he said, it took Noach 120 years to build a teva, and it's taken Hampstead Synagogue 120 years to put their bima in the middle of the shul. but they did away with the mixed choir. Rav Moshe Feinstein says, there are reasons if you want to have the davening in the middle that people can hear you, that you might daven in the middle of the bima, but Rabbi Yaakov Ettlinger writes it's better not to, that you've got the Oren, you've got the Omud, you've got the bima, and they've all got different functions. The Oren is to sanctify the Neshama, the Omud is for davening, and Yorid Lifnei HaTeva, one goes down before the Omud, whereas the bima is you get an Aliyah, you go up to it, so the bima should be raised and the Omud should really be lower down. Some even say below street level.
Bima is like a Harsina.
Like Har Sinai, yeah. Kriyas HaTorah is like Matan Torah, yeah. There are a number of reasons given by Rav Hamburg in the Shoshim Min HaGashkenaz, reenactment of Har Sinai, Zachariah and Ezra, they stood on a high platform called a Migdal, Hakel, the king, reads from a high place from the Bima, and the Rambam writes that the Bima should be in the middle of the shul for Kriyas HaTorah, or high location. Certainly davening, when you're davening at the Omud, if you're standing high up on the bima, it looks like gaiva, it might look like arrogance, and that's why it's frowned upon. But talking about unrest and quarrels, I'll tell you a little story which happened to me once when I was at the young innocent age of about 20 or 21. I was at a Sheva Brachas in a house where they followed Minhag Chabad. And Mariv was starting, and as we were approaching the Shemayin Esra, and there was me, a young, innocent lad, 20 or 21, thinking, this isn't right, something's wrong here. We were all standing facing a very large painting of a very well-known Rebbe. A worldwide famous Rebbe, a very special man, a genius of a man. But all the more so, that made me worried, because, you know, if you're davening to a picture of flowers, it doesn't look very idolatrous. But when you're davening to a very large picture straight ahead of you, it doesn't seem right. So just as the Shemayin Esra was starting, I went up to this portrait of this Rebbe, and I turned it round. I did hear some tut-tut-tuts, but people were already in their Shemayin Esra, so I didn't take any notice, and then I davened. But afterwards, I won't say they were death threats like the other time there was, but it was not very savoury, I must admit, which led to the question of, did I do the right thing? So I went to my Rosh Yeshiva, Rav Moshe Shlita, and I said to him, you know, we can't daven to such a picture, can we? Surely it's also to do that. So surely what I did was the right thing. And he waved his finger and he said, no. He said, no, even if you're right, even if you know you're 100%, of course you mustn't daven to such a picture. In fact, because it's such a great man, all the more reason you don't daven to such a picture. So face a different direction. But don't do anything which can start a machlokis. Yes. You can be 100% right. You're convinced that what you're doing is the correct thing. But if it starts a machlokis, keep quiet. Hold back. Don't do it. Because that's the most important thing of all. So the most important thing to remember, when we're davening at the Omud, we're not davening at the Omud, we're saying nu, we're not saying nu, we're saying you're too quick, you're saying you're too slow. The most important thing is, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Yevorech Es Amo Vashalom. Thank you.